Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. They saw a bright light. They heard voices. They saw people from long ago. They felt joy and wanted to stay. They were far from the troubles and problems of the world. It was a good place to be. But they couldn't stay. They had to go back. Is that a description of the transfiguration of our Lord that we heard about today? I suppose it is. But I was really describing what you will read almost universally in books and articles written by people who have what are called near-death experiences. People die, or almost die, I suppose, and report all those things. I don't think I've ever heard of one in which the person experiences fire and brimstone, darkness and fear. It is always good. It is always joy. It is always a place you want to be. And these books and articles are quite popular and capture people's imaginations, even Christians, who often see in them evidence of heaven. Someone's been there. Someone has seen it. So now we know it's true. So what? Seriously, so what? I knew that heaven was true already because of another book that told us so, the Bible. And another person who's been there and told us about it, Jesus. So all these books and articles really don't say anything new. In fact, they leave a lot out. Because just because something is true doesn't mean it's for you. I've seen people who have millions of dollars. That's real. That's true. It's not for me. I saw Joe Flacco bask in the glory of winning the Super Bowl MVP last Sunday night. That's real. That's true. It's not for me. Barack Obama was sworn in again as president a couple of weeks ago to the adoration of hundreds of thousands of people. That's true. That's real. It's not for me. So someone purportedly dies or almost dies and sees these things. Real? Maybe. Maybe not. But what about me? What's going to happen to me? And that, those questions right there, is what separates the transfiguration of our Lord from all those near-death experiences that sound very similar. For you see, the transfiguration is for you. It's not just something that happened to Peter, James, and John, a near-death experience, which they then told us about. The transfiguration, as we prayed earlier, foreshows our adoption by grace. The glory, the presence of Moses and Elijah, the voice from the cloud, it's all for you. That you may know not only that heaven is real because someone died and went to heaven, but because someone from heaven came and died for you. That rather than rely on someone else's near-death experience, you rely on Jesus' real death experience. His death and resurrection for you. his death and resurrection, that we are now entering into the season of Lent to remember and celebrate. And so in the Transfiguration, we see and hear of the one who came from heaven to die for you. Jesus appears in his glory. He is no mere man, no mere mortal, no mere prophet or miracle worker, but the very Son of God come down from heaven. He pulls aside, as it were, the veil of his human flesh to show that glory that is always his and that he always has. Though it was hidden for a time in human flesh. And that he came to die is the topic of the conversation between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, for they were speaking of Jesus' departure, which would take place at Jerusalem. For how Jesus was going to depart Jerusalem is carrying a cross, then being hung on that cross, then having his lifeless body taken down from that cross and laid in a tomb. That is the message Moses and Elijah had proclaimed during their earthly lives. And what they were now beginning to see fulfilled in Jesus. Now those two things, Jesus' shining glory and this talk of his death on the cross, seem at first contradictory. What Peter, James, and John were seeing and what they were hearing didn't agree. Their eyes saw glory, but their ears heard horror. And if you had to choose between these two options, you would have chosen the first, like Peter did. Glory, crucifixion, I think we'll stay here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. So then the voice from the cloud to set things straight. The voice of the Father sounds forth, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." This is my Son, God from God, light from light, very God of very God. My chosen one, chosen by the Father to die for the sin of the world. Listen to him. For what your eyes see and what your ears hear may seem contradictory to you, but they are not to God. This has been planned before the foundation of the world, that your glorious God would suffer the horror of death on the cross, that your glorious God would die the death of a sinner, so that you sinners would live the glorious life of God. And then the glory was gone. Jesus was found alone. It was gone as quickly as it came. Or was it? No, the glory was still there. It always was there. It was just hidden again. Hidden for Jesus to die. And again, that's what separates the transfiguration of our Lord from all those near-death experiences that sound very familiar. For them, the glory is the story. For Jesus, the glory is part of the story that helps us understand the story. That we see that the glory and the cross are not contradictory, but go together. That we see that Jesus was never more glorious than when he hung on the cross in love as your substitute. That we see that for Jesus, his glory was not something to show off. but to use for the life of the world. That His glory wouldn't just be His glory, but your glory too. For the fire and brimstone, the darkness and fear, they're real. They are, in fact, what you and I, Moses and Elijah, and every person who ever lived deserve for our sin. For our sin that tells God what I want matters more than what you want. For our sin that tells God we know better than Him what we need and what we should have. For our sin that tells God we love our stuff and our pleasures and the dying and decaying things of this world more than Him. To which God, by all rights, should say, fine, go. But when you then have a real death experience, it won't be of the glory kind. But here we see true love. That instead of telling us, fine, go, the Father told His Son, go. Go into the world and save them. Go into the world and pay the price for their sin. Go into the world that they may have a glorious future with Me. Go into the world and show them My love. And maybe that's what confused the disciples most of all. Not the glory, but the love. This is love that transcends all earthly love. This is love that doesn't make any sense to us at all. This is love that would cause God to die for sinners like you and me. Is that not the glory of God? And so when the disciples finally do proclaim Jesus, when they filled the world with their message, they wrote books and articles, they told the story of the Transfiguration, yes. But more, much more, they told the story of the cross. That if you want to see the glory of God, look there. If you want to see the love of God, look there. For by the cross, not Jesus, but you are transfigured. By the cross, Jesus will provide His glory for you in the forgiveness of your sins. And then the disciples told us even more. For when they filled the world with their message, when they wrote their books and articles and letters, they not only told the story of the cross, they told us where the cross is for us today. That in holy baptism, Jesus joins you to Himself in His death and resurrection. That His death to sin be your death to sin, and His resurrection to life be your resurrection to life. That in holy absolution, those words that Jesus spoke to the criminal on the cross next to His be the same as the words He speaks to the sinner in your seat. I forgive you all your sins. Today you will be with Me in paradise in My glory. That you know those words are just as true today for you as they were for Him then. That in the Holy Gospel, you hear not just the story of others who happened to live at the same time as Jesus and saw His glory and told you what happened. You hear the very words of Jesus spoken to you. And so you are listening to Him. And that in the Holy Supper, the very body and blood of Jesus that hung on the cross and lay in the tomb and rose victorious is now given to you that your body do the same. And that these things that this church they are given in don't look very glorious, and that the people they are given to don't look very glorious, Well, isn't that the point? As with Jesus, it's not that the glory isn't there. It is just hidden for a while. Hidden until the time comes for it to be revealed. So what does a near-death experience then look like for us Christians? It looks like what you do here every Sunday. When you repent and receive the glorious forgiveness of your sins. When you hear the glorious life-giving words of Jesus. When you open your mouth and receive His glorious body and blood. When that old man, that old sinner in you dies. And a new glorious man in you rises again. To live a new life. A new glorious life. That yes, will be hidden under trials and struggles, sufferings and pain, just like it was with Jesus. But like the disciples, don't rely on your eyes. Listen to Him. Listen to Him who says, "You are mine." Listen to Him who says, "These things are yours for a time. These sufferings and trials and hardships, but for your good." Listen to Him who has shown us that hidden doesn't mean absent. It means that the glory is really there. Yes, even now in you. For Christ lives in you. So, we enter soon this week into the season of Lent. As you do, as you feel the scratch of the ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday, as you feel the darkness on Good Friday, these things telling you, no life for you, you sinner. No heaven for you, you sinner. No glory for you. Remember that this is exactly why Jesus is here for you. To be in your sin and death with you and for you. And to say, yes, life for you, my child. Yes, life for you. Heaven for you. Glory for you, my child. Yes, for you. Because I have come for you. My glory for you. So let us now come. Come and see His glory. The glory of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.